My name is Ra'ya Saleh. I am a Bahraini self-made chef, entrepreneur, restaurateur.
I'm Michelle Schifaletti, and you're listening to Thaqafat.
The Kingdom of Bahrain is an island nation. With its historical pearl trade, the country's roots have been shaped by cultural exchange. This can be told through the story of its cuisine. Ra'ya Saleh's restaurant, Villa Mamas, is a destination in Bahrain. She combines her childhood summers spent on the farm working with her mother and grandmother to prepare each dish served at her establishment, which have been passed on through generations. Inspired by her memories and travels throughout the Middle East and India, Ra'ya opened Villa Mamas in 2012 in Bahrain as an extension of her own kitchen. Founded in the traditions of local and seasonal ingredients, Villa Mamas continues to support and champion local farmers and growers in Bahrain. She expanded internationally, opening their first branch in London in 2017 to share the warmth of Khaliji food and hospitality with an international audience. Welcome, Ra'ya. So let's begin, and why don't you share with us your inspiration and how you began this journey to becoming a restaurateur?
I am a Bahraini single mother with four children. They're not children anymore. They're grown up, and some of them are in universities and some of them are starting universities. Since 2012, where I decided to leave the corporate world and create my own business into something that I really adore, which is food and gardening and farming. And these two things work together very well for me. This is what I come from childhood, where I grew up in farms in Iran, where my mom, my late mom, came from. So every summer, we would go and we would work in the farm with our uncles and aunties. This is the idea of how Villa Mamas started.
So tell us a little bit about, you mentioned a bit about your mother, but tell us, what were your influences? What are your influences on starting the business? And how did your upbringing kind of affect that?
The major influence that made me decide and embark into this kind of business, which is serving Bahraini food to the Westerners that already live and the residents of Bahrain, because Bahrain is well known for its education system, you know, for multicultural environment, where we have the first English schools and American schools in Bahrain. So from centuries ago, we attracted a lot of expatriates to Bahrain. That's why I wanted those expatriates to experience Bahraini home cooking in a nice restaurant, first class restaurant ambiance, which never existed. In 2011, 2012, when the ideas first started to me, to just do it, you know? I was a home cook, but I didn't have any idea about restaurant kitchen. I didn't have any idea about restaurant kitchen equipment and nothing. I didn't have any experience whatsoever. It was really hard for me to just decide and get into this business. It's a huge risk already financially, but also because I don't come from a knowledgeable background in this industry, it was hard for me. But because of how passionate I was in the idea of introducing the Bahraini culture from the food perspective to the West, really gave me that push that I really need to do it. Because prior to that, anytime residents, expatriates wanted to eat from, you know, the Bahraini food, they had to be invited to the houses,
to a home,
or they would be going to restaurants that didn't know, the chefs at those restaurants didn't know the first thing about the Bahraini cuisine. So that's how I started the idea of Villa Mamas, and it shocked the environment of Bahrain as a whole, and it shocked me to learn that Bahrainis and Khalijis wanted this cuisine to be presented, how it's presented and how it's being, you know, served. So instead of attracting the expatriates, they did come, but 90% of them still are the Khalijis and the Bahrainis. Ironically, they cook the same food in their homes. Mm. That's why we didn't think that that would attract that kind of sector, you know?
But at that time, when you first opened Villa Mamas in Bahrain, how was it received? Because I feel like a lot of times people view Khaliji food, okay, that's food for the home. But this kind of changed that conversation. How were you initially perceived when you first opened the restaurant by locals?
This is exactly what I said earlier. Like, they loved it. They absolutely loved it. And to the extent that, you know, a lot of people in the government, they heard a lot, like, you know, there is a queue for a couple, 2 hours, and Villa Mamas, what's going on? Mm. They wanted to come and see and make sure this is true. The chef, Bahraini chef, is in the kitchen. Actually, she's cooking and she's serving the food. And they found it bizarre, like, you know. So the foreign minister of Bahrain, Sheikh Khalid Al Ahmed, he came to my kitchen wanting to see it by himself. So he surprised me in the kitchen. And he told me, like, Roya, they were surprised as well. They would sit in the dining area looking at the people who visit. And they would also be surprised that actually attracting Bahrainis, but actually attracting Saudis and Khalijis and Kuwaitis to this food. And you mentioned something. You mentioned that Bahraini food is home-cooked food. Like, what would attract Bahrainis and Khalijis to come and have this home-cooked food? But every food is home-cooked food.
Right.
Every food. Mm-hmm. Every food in the world is home-cooked food. And from my experience, I learned the fact that all of the world, regardless where it is, if you speak to about Japan or China or anywhere in the world, we all, our ancestors, shared the exact same techniques of cooking. They shared the exact ingredients in cooking that we, this generation, is now trying to bring back. And some of the chefs think, unfortunately, that the technique that they are producing, it's a totally inventive technique, which if he goes back to history, it's been used for you know, generations and generations back. And what I say always, we should be proud of our history. We should be proud of our culture. And we should be proud of our mothers and grandmothers and, you know, the way how they cook.
You mentioned a lot about your influences growing up, but Bahrain, it's such a mixing pot. I feel there are so many different types of people from so many different types of backgrounds that live there. How do you feel that influences, like, Bahraini cuisine?
In New York, for example, where you live, how many cultures there are? In London, everywhere in the world, halas. Now the globe has become already one.
Right.
There is no nation today that is fixated to one type of cuisine in their single house.
Mm-hmm.
Each house today would cook different types of cuisine every day for just the sake of change. So we go back to how the Bahraini food is derives from. So the Bahraini food history, it's exactly how any other history of, you know, cultures. Okay, fuel was discovered in Bahrain about 70 years, if I'm not mistaken. Okay, in that time, we only had, you know, fuel. Before that, we had only dates. We were trading in dates and pearl, you know? So through trade, Bahrain is an island, okay? So we traded with the near neighbors. Who are our near neighbors? Neighbors of Persia, of India, of Yemen. They will bring something, spices. They will bring their herbs. And we will trade, barter. We will trade with pearl and we will trade with dates. People married from different parts. Like, you know, my mom is from Iran and my dad is Bahraini. Mm-hmm. That's how cultures marry each other, you know, and the food also develops from with time.
Mm-hmm.
2 years or 3 years ago, people in Bahrain and in the Gulf didn't know certain herbs like kale. Kale was introduced to us only 3-4 years ago. I was the one who introduced it. Up to today, still a lot of people don't understand what kale is. We are being introduced to new herbs, new spice every single day.
Right, right. And now that's just globalization in general. Everywhere, now people are trying different cuisines. They're exploring different things at home, trying, you know, I think about even like supermarkets. Now there's more supermarkets that focus on certain cuisines, and, you know, you can go to an Asian market and get things that maybe you couldn't get 10 years ago or even 5 years ago.
Organic food was already what our ancestors used to eat, right? How we started to be unorganic? How? Now everybody's talking like organic.
Like it's new.
Like organic farming. Mm. Some people who don't go back to culture, who don't go back to history, they think that it's an invention. Organic food is a new invention that you know, they have to learn about. But if they study history, they will automatically know what organic is and how they can make it and keep it organic.
So talk a little bit about kind of your love for farming, your love for your garden, because I think it's an integral part of your menu, it seems like, and an integral part of you as an entrepreneur and a chef.
100%. I started with a principle, and I've never, during this 7-8 years of my restaurant career, never ever did I once move away 1 inch from my path. I have a clear target. I have a clear path in my life since I started the restaurant Villa Mamas. And I've always, if you go back to my history, you will see hashtag organic, hashtag herbs, garden, Bahraini, local, 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 local. I always encourage people to eat clean food, you know, local food.
Right.
Know exactly what you put in your stomach. You don't need to look for something that is imported, and because it's imported from this place, it has to be good. No, no. You have to think what you have fresh. Villa Mamas, when it started with this ethos, and it is continuing with the same ethos. It's not a slogan that we use and say, from farm to table. Come on, people, it's from farm to table. It is from farm to table, and I found it very hard to create trust from the community because a lot of other people misuse this slogan, farm to table. Because they misused it, when I came and said it, people didn't trust it in the beginning. Still, people don't trust it. Still, with all of what I do, you know, showing them through my social media accounts, how I grow my herbs, I grow my fruits and vegetables. We use seasonal. We grow everything. So we work very close with farmers in Bahrain. Some people will come to my restaurant and order, for example, a prawn dish. Prawn is sometimes stopped by the government to encourage breeding, people, unfortunately, they don't understand that we don't freeze. We never buy in bulks and freeze. We don't need to. If it's not available, it's not available. I'm sorry. But in the culture, it's not very common that a guest would go and see something in the menu and you tell them it's not available. I'm sorry. But in the West, they will kiss your hand. In the West, they'll be very happy if you tell them, I'm sorry, this time, this dish is finished. Here, he will be very upset and he will be enraged because how come you're a restaurant and you say you have something and it's finished? It's not in their dictionary. But when I go to a restaurant in Europe or anywhere and they tell me it's finished, I immediately know that this restaurant cooks fresh food every day.
Right. And it almost makes you want the dish more because you're like, oh, okay, it's exclusive. Exactly. They finished it. It's fresh. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I want to talk about your story as like an entrepreneur. So when you first started, growing up, did you ever think you were going to open your own restaurant, multiple restaurants? Did you ever think that was a passion that you always had, or was it something that happened kind of organically and over time?
To be brutally honest, I always loved farming. I found myself the happiest in the farms, squeezing the milk out of the cow and harvesting the grapes and the walnut in the seasons. But of course, the very early stages of my life, from 6 years until the late teenage years. And then after that, I wanted to become a banker. Like, I wanted to work in the corporate world, wear a suit, wear heels. The wish to start my restaurant came after, traveling the world. In the age between 25 and above, 25 onwards, when I was already working in one of the banks and traveled around the world and got to experience the different cuisines in the world, got to experience the different, ingredients. So it was intriguing for me. And I started, while traveling, the first thing I would experience is to go to the cold stores of these places and visit farmers market just to see what they grow, how they use what they grow, and the restaurants and how the food is tasting of that cuisine. There was a time where I had a real estate company in 2008. I started in 2005 and the real estate was booming in Bahrain. I did really well. And 2008, mm-hmm. Everything just stopped. It really just literally stopped. So I'm a person who takes a very quick calculated decisions. So I take decision and I go for it. No matter what consequences would come after that decision, I take it and I take it responsibly. And then I'm not the kind of person to stay at home, do nothing. So I started to develop my cooking skills all by myself, watching videos, watching cooking shows, inviting a lot of my friends and family to eat the food and give me their feedback. It took 2 years for me to develop to the extent that first make myself be convinced that it's time to open a restaurant and have other people taste my food.
Right. So your corporate experience probably helped you with being kind of opening your own restaurant.
100%. My school studies, everything helped me. My college, my reading. I read a lot of books. I have a library in my home.
So how did you then decide to open the restaurant in London? When was the point that you said, okay, now I feel I've accomplished what I want in Bahrain now I'm ready for London. How did you make that decision?
Well, I took that decision the first day I opened Villa Mama's Bahrain in 2012. I wanted to spread Bahraini and Khaliji cuisine in the way how I succeeded in introducing it in Bahrain and Khalid. Like, you know, people travel from all over, from the Gulf, to come to Bahrain only to eat at Villa Mama's. Only to eat at Villa Mama's. They take the plane. They come to Bahrain. They land in Bahrain straight to Villa Mama's. That's how passionate they become about Villa Mama's food. I wanted to spread the Bahraini food culture to everywhere. Like, I had London, New York, Istanbul in my mind the first day. So I was always like, I believe when you want something so bad, mm-hmm. it happens. 5 years down the line, I opened Villa Mama's London after doing a pop-up, small pop-up in 2016. I did a pop-up just to have a feel of London, you know, London market. So in 2017, we're there. We opened our first outlet in London. And the next is either New York City or LA.
Okay, we're waiting for you here in the US. I'm ready for that. What would you like to see in the next, let's say, 5 to 10 years for your business?
We already are working on many areas. We will definitely open in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia, in 2021, and Dar'iyah.
Congratulations.
We have a plan to open in Abu Dhabi as a pop-up. And this was supposed to have, you know, been on in March, back in March, but because of Corona, again, stopped. But the work is continuing in Abu Dhabi, and we will be going to Abu Dhabi doing a pop-up, and where we do pop-up, we open. And in the next 5 to 10 years, we want more outlets in London and New York City or LA.
So tell people who are listening that want to try your restaurants where in London they can find you and where in Bahrain they can find you.
In Bahrain, we are in Saar area, just 5 minutes across the bridge from the causeway. In London, we are in Chelsea, in Alliston Street in Chelsea. It's a very small, little, cozy, beautiful outlet. Very romantic, very romantic.
So I always end with the last question, and that is, what does culture mean to you?
Culture means everything to me. My attachment to culture is very deep, very, very deep. And I believe if you are not attached and if you are not knowledgeable about your culture, you are not complete. You wouldn't find yourself complete if you are not 100% attached to your culture. Understand your culture. Really, really go into deep understanding into your culture. To understand it. Then live and develop it. Culture is part of your identity.
Thank you so much for joining us. This was so fun.
It was so fun for me too. I hope your listeners will find this interesting, and they will take anything from this that's really good to take with them in their life.
Thank you everyone for tuning in today. Food is always one of my favorite aspects of culture to talk about. If you'd like to follow her on Instagram, you can find her at @RaiyaSalahXOXO or at Villa Mama's. And you can also visit her amazing restaurants, which are absolutely delicious, in Bahrain or London, and soon to be the other locations that she mentioned in today's episode. As always, you can follow us at The Thaqafat, and don't forget to subscribe to stay tuned as we connect to the culture next time. Ma'a salama.